This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
So, I'm sitting on Green Goblin's lap doing Cruising USA, and I'm like trying to tell him which way to turn and stuff because he's reaching out and driving.
Mm-hmm.
Because it, like, but I don't think, like, because he insists that's like how you're supposed to, you need the one person who to like tell you what to do.
And the one person to actually steer the controls.
Yes. But I think it was just that he didn't want to wait his turn.
Right. Well, so when I've done it, I find that his hands are rarely on the wheel.
Yeah, which is the other.
He's like, because I'll be like, turn this way. And he goes like this. And he'll be touching my chest and stomach and trying to stick shift.
Uh-huh.
And I just feel like that's definitely not going to get us the winning score of the game.
Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, like, you're saying, like, put on the brake, because you don't know any other way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Say stop other than put on the brakes.
Mm-hmm.
And that, of course, stops the car.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, everyone else is just blowing by you.
Oh, and don't think he didn't try to pull the emergency brake. You know,
there's the stick shift and then the emergency brake.
Mm-hmm. I got two of them.
Hey, welcome to Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names in the red carpet linebacker hallways of this industry we call showbiz.
Showbiz.
We're going to get into our guest segment in a second.
What up? What up?
With Alan
McClaw.
But, Sean, I mean, I think we can be candid about this. You're feeling sort of cranky, and so.
Yeah.
Like, just good to get through this first part as
just
fast
a
as,
fast one.
As fast as possible, yeah.
Because I've been in a pissy mood today, and I've been rude to everyone.
But we did want to talk about Bastard Executioner for a minute.
Yeah.
This is a show, like, when we can be fans of TV.
That's one thing that makes my mood actually good is talking
yes,
about
and that's
this.
Well, that's why I want to talk about Bastard Executioner, because by the time our guest comes, and see, now I can see you're already. Yes.
I'm really having fun thinking about that
you're
show.
Already getting very excited, because we're fans of TV as much as doing it, and when a show comes along that seems like it's really fresh and like a new take on being
and,
badass
and of our time.
Yes, yes, because it is it taking place in ancient England, but the whole idea first
it's
of all,
it's not about English stuff; it's about us.
Yes, it's about us, and it's the same guy who did Sons of Anarchy,
uh-huh.
and who came up with the idea for Southpaw.
Yes.
And what it is, it's this Bastard Executioner. I haven't seen it yet, but just the idea of it, just like being this like bastard, just like son of a bitch, you know, just being like a badass.
Just this
bastard.
Mean motherfucker, you
yes.
know?
Yes.
And just a and real hard ass and chopping with an axe.
And the thing that gets, the thing that's really exciting is I like seeing white guys who are being really tough.
Tough and strong.
Yeah. Like the motorcycle, the guys.
Motorcycle gang, tough white guys.
Yes.
Southpaw. White puncher, who's the strongest one of them all.
Yeah.
Over everybody.
Yeah. And I like thinking about, like, that means, like, it makes me almost, like, wonder if I could do that.
Yes, I have a tough time sometimes imagining myself being the tough character in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I really want, or in a show.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if I could lift an axe and smash through a sharp head or whatever.
I need to see people who look like me being the toughest one in the universe
and
of
the
show.
And one who's stronger than even the other guys who are different looking.
Yes. Although sometimes in order to do this, we do have to go back into ancient times in order to establish a world where we don't have that kind of competition that we have now.
Yes. That's medieval not, England. There's maybe not
making it not as
so
fun
much.
Anymore.
Maybe there's not. It's not so hard to buy necessarily that we'd be the toughest ones.
It used to be.
As in modern times, it feel like we're not.
Yes. And so that's why we can go back and pretend to be like cowboys where there isn't all this stuff like messing it up. Like,
yeah.
Like there is today.
Ruining it.
Mm-hmm.
Trump will build that wall.
And also that's why I like those Boston noir movies.
Yes.
I like seeing gangsters, but gangsters like, you know, gangsters and like the shooting and all that. But
yeah.
I want it to look like me and my friends.
Oh, Al Capone.
Al Capone.
Old Chicago and yes, and the mob even. Like that's something because that is white guys and they're fucking strong. But like a lot of the other stuff with tough guys and strong guys and guys who are gritty.
Yeah.
It takes
me out of it.
For me.
Yes.
And is really not going to be popular, let's face it. So this is going to be finally a show for me. I've been missing Sons of Anarchy and let's get into something new. That's good in the way that we like.
Was there anything else you wanted to say about Bastard Executioner?
Oh, just I heard Ed Sheeran's on it. And what better way to like show your toughness and if you're friends with a little British fop singing about love. He's friends with Taylor Swift and getting him in there. He's already got the look. So, yeah, that is cool too. What did you want to say something else about it?
I wanted to talk about how Ed Sheeran is in it. He lives in a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And like he gives the bastard executioner advice.
Mm-hmm. And he tortures him.
Yeah, not in the top of a tree.
No.
In the trunk.
Yeah. Or it's just a wooden place, right?
Yeah. Is there another word for that?
No, I don't know. I mean, but it's just a place made of trees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what
it's
I
wooden
mean.
Pieces.
Yeah, it's
made
got,
like
yes.
boards out of
it's
the tree.
It's got wood on the outside and on the bottom.
Is like stone.
Right, but there's wood there too.
Sure.
And then the top is wood. Like a tree.
And he's burning wood in the fireplace. There's like a stone fireplace.
Yes. He lives in a tree.
Anyway, I'm excited for that. And look out for us, you know, because now this is going to give me the courage to be as strong like these men.
We have a great guest. But people don't like, you know, we like to go through these fast holes because people don't like to wait so long for the ads. After the first one, they just heard the first one at the very beginning and then they want to hear the next one to know sort of how the story ends.
Mm.
And so this is, you'll hear the part two of the ad story. And then we'll bring in our guest, on Hollywood Handbook. So everyone's cheering this wee and it's a because it's parade.
Yeah.
On the float, me, Joshua.
I love this song.
Jackson.
Do you ever really listen to the song?
And the float is like Free Willy's tank on wheels. Because it's somebody made a mistake with the word float. I don't know. But it's my 40th. The parade is St. Patrick's Day. The float is for my 40th.
Mm-hmm.
And this was when like Free Willy, this was when the first Free Willy had like really gotten
total
around.
Phenomenon, yeah.
And you know, so talk to Joshua.
Jumping over the raised fists on the rocks. And
that's what I wanted to sort of, for my party to sort of be about on this float. And so At some point, the zookeeper comes up, which is like, or like the animal. She says, like, I'm the animal supervisor or whatever, but it's like, you're a fucking zookeeper. And is like, you have to stop the flow.
What?
Because
you don't stop a flow in a parade.
Because girls are throwing their bras into the tank. They're like missing me and hitting the tank.
Uh-huh.
And Free Willy is eating the bras because he thinks that they're like circly eels. You know how bras have those circles?
The fronts part.
Yes.
Yes.
He thinks they're like circly eels.
Okay.
He's not supposed to.
The strap, they have like longy parts on the side.
Yes. That's the eel part.
Undone.
That's the eel part. Yes.
Yes.
That's the part he thought was an eel. And so zookeeper's like, he's not like.
Almost like two jellyfish humping.
I guess the problem was that he was embarrassed that. Like the zookeeper's worried that he's going to be embarrassed about eating bras.
That Free Willy will?
Yes.
Or that it's just bad press.
And so we all start eating the bras as well so he doesn't get embarrassed. And that was the most bras I ate on my birthday.
So he had wanted you to stop the flow because the whale was embarrassed. Because
Free Willy was being embarrassed about.
And then you guys ate the bras so you didn't stop the flow.
No.
Wow. It almost feels like part of the story got skipped or messed up.
Which part?
Just.
You, like you said, you can't stop a float during a parade.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to come up with an alternative reason to stop Free Willy from being embarrassed.
You know what I missed was you go having on. That idea even.
Yeah, like I should have said that part. I should have said I had an idea. You're right.
I love to see that part of every story.
You're right.
Some things that I love about stories and storytelling. Number one, why now? Why today?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, yes, you're having parade, St.
Which
Patrick's
I did
Day,
do.
Your 40th birthday.
I hope that's not
but
a note.
Why today?
No, I hope that's not a note because I did.
Why is this happening now to this character, Hayes?
Okay, I thought I did establish that. I thought I actually did almost too many of those because it was both my 40th birthday and it was St. Patrick's Day and it was right around the time that Free Willy was exciting to people.
And I like to feel like the protagonist is active in the story.
Right.
And that they made a choice.
And that's having,
I don't like to think
that's having the idea.
Things are just happening to them.
Right.
You know? Because that's not how life is. Nothing ever happens to you. You create it.
Hey! Welcome to Hollywood Handbook.
Handbook.
An insider's guide to kicking button, dropping names in the red carpet, lineback hallways of this industry we call showbiz. We're so excited to have a corker of a guest on the show.
Mega corker, and it's blowing my fucking tits off, brother. Guess who's here? In Hayes, I'm trying out a new persona.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like dirtier and edgier and more in your face.
Wait, what did you say? That was, you said guess who's here?
I said mega corker, it's blowing my fucking tits off, and guess who's right. here?
Oh, that is bad.
And it's Alan McLeod, and hey, fuck you, buddy. What's up, Alan?
Hey, fuck you guys.
Hey, that's really sweet.
Yeah, happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Alan, tell me who you are.
Well, I'm Alan. I live right here in Los Angeles. I do comedy stuff, and I'm an actor and a writer.
I love it.
Yeah. I sing sometimes and
great. You'll lay a couple bars on us.
Yeah.
This feels good.
The
range. Love the energy here.
Yeah.
I love the energy
that was
here.
A falsetto.
And on Emmys weekend, no less.
Oh, yeah.
Predictions?
Well, you know who's going to get one.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Say it, though.
David.
David,
he's finally
David's gonna get one. And
bringing home the hardware.
Sharon,
Sharon bringing home the hardware. What Sharon's she does with the hardware, I don't want to guess.
Oh, man.
Once she gets it home.
I heard they get very nasty at those Emmy parties with the little gold hardware.
They make them do, yes, because they make them do stuff with the, make the awards act like they're doing stuff with each other.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
make
yeah.
it seem like the awards are rubbing up on each other in a nasty way.
Yeah, yeah, the Emmy Awards are the new Barbie dolls, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And if you do ever win two awards, if you're a hyphenate like me and you win two awards, you can make them 69 and stick that sort of wiry globe up each other's butts.
Oh, yeah.
So, and it's, and I'm not proud of it, but I'm not ashamed of it.
No.
Because what else are you going to, at a certain point, they've been on your shelf. What else are you going
to
do?
And how else are you going to teach your kids how to, you know, do that stuff safely?
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't get pregnant from 69ing unless you do. There's a way you can, but I'm,
yeah.
So, how? Alan, enough about 69s. You, of course, love the Emmys. You love Hollywood. You have had many roles which you loved. And tell us about some of what you're in right now. And you're the worst and more like it's the best.
Yes, you're the friend on It's the Best.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. I'm a friend
we
of
call
it's
it the It's the Best.
I'm a husband of one of the best worsties there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of fun. It's like the just the perfect amount of medium pressure. I'm not having to carry...
FX or FXX?
FXX.
Even better.
It was on FX. It was on F, and then it was on FX, and now it's on FXX.
Andy Greenwald said it's the funniest comedy on TV past 2 years, and it just, do you like that?
Do you like that, or is that embarrassing?
Were you hanging out with him?
Do you want him?
No, he's writing it on the show, and is that dweeb somebody you're friends with?
No.
Well, that's really nice then. If he's not your friend and he's saying that,
yeah, that's
none of us do.
But yeah, you know,
you like it then. It's not embarrassing.
I like it. I like when people like stuff that I'm in. You know,
all people.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, if Hitler liked You're the Worst, I'd be like, oh, maybe we shouldn't be doing this.
This isn't that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Andy
Green's just a dweeb.
Yeah, this guy's a dweeb, but you know, whatever.
He's not honestly not cool enough to. I mean, imagine him like trying to do. Like a Hitler.
Like, yes, trying to be a Hitler
thing,
stuff.
Being like,
people would kind of be like, no.
Anyway,
yeah, I'll
be trying
to
hyperlink to his like manifesto or something.
Yeah.
And check out these other ones I did last year.
But
here and here. And then it's the different color, the letter on the screen. And then when you click it, it's like an old speech that he gave.
I don't like that when sometimes the words are hyperlinked to a thing.
To a longer thing.
I'm in the middle of reading this thing, though.
Yeah.
But that if the hyperlink takes you to a different page that I can then bookmark that page for later. But if it covers up the page that I'm on, well, then it's like...
I have to go all the way through being curious, then go back up to the top.
Yes.
And then one thing this guy would do maybe is it always hyperlinks just something else he said.
Yeah, and imagine, yeah. Alan, you're going into you're clicking the hyperlink inside the first article, and you're starting to read the second one, but guess what, Alan? That one has a hyperlink as well.
Got a hyperlink.
And so now you have to go inside that one.
How are you supposed to do it? Are you supposed to do it when you see it,
and
or are you supposed to go back?
I don't know if you're supposed to remember the hyperlink when you finish the thing you were reading.
Are you supposed
it?
To click it, see the headline... Go back, finish.
You have to read the whole thing.
And then if you liked it. Really?
Mm-hmm. That's how
but
it's supposed to
be. But there is hyperlinks in it.
Yeah, you have to read. You have to go in order.
You'll never read. You'll never finish reading.
I mean, sometimes it's important to get that hyperlink out of the way right away because they're hyperlinking it because it's important to the next word of the article.
Yeah.
That you're about to read. And you're going to be lost.
Are hyperlinks just a nasty trick, Alan?
I think they started off innocently enough, and now there's just too many darn hyperlinks.
Speak on that.
Well, you know, when kids get hyper, they call it ADD, and I think Well, maybe we need to prescribe that sort of medicine, Ritalin and whatnot to,
for some of
the internet,
links,
you know?
For some of these links.
Yeah, for some of these links, because, I mean, it's like hard to pay attention to what's going on. It's like, it's hard enough, you know? It's like I'm trying to read the internet and then there's like this hyperlink and that hyperlink, and then maybe a car passes by that's a really cool car, and I'm like, well, I don't know, I'm distracted by that too. And it's like, that car's got a hyperlink on it. It's like, well, I got to see what that's about.
Yeah. Oh, okay, Alan. And that's maybe too much now.
I'm at a cafe. I should have said, now this is a problem. I should have said I was outside at a cafe when I'm reading this article on the internet. And that's why a car passed.
That's
by.
Why you could see a car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm still working on my storytelling too. You guys were talking about that earlier.
Okay.
That's why now.
Alan. And that's maybe too much on
why
that
today?
For me. Because what I really want to talk about is these. You've done these roles. You're the best friend on It's the Best.
And then I'm the husband on It's the Happiest.
Of one of the main best friends. Yeah. But there's a lot of roles that you almost had. And Hollywood a town of just these almosts?
Oh,
and
my God.
You don't – you know, it's some Forks in the Road and Sliding Doors and all that.
Oh,
and
I've come very close on a few things.
Mm-hmm.
The path isn't a straight line.
No. Most of the time it is, I guess, actually. Oh, well, I mean, it depends on
– It is, but it almost wasn't.
Right.
It almost wasn't a straight line. And you think it's going to be – well, I might have to take a twist or a turn today, but –
Not
sometimes it's 1 foot right in front of the other, you know?
Tell me about you almost became Master Robot.
Well, I went in for this Master Robot show and for the role of Master Robot. And who we all know went to Christy Slasher.
Mm-hmm.
So I go in there. We go in there, my team and I go in there.
All your agents are there with at the audition with
Bring
you.
Yes. Your agents,
bring your
please.
Bring we your haven't talked to this group troop in a long time, but this is a good opportunity to shake them
pens.
Awake and say, get your pens and say, bring your team to the audition.
Shake your pen and suck on the tip of it a little bit so that you get the ink flowing. And write down, bring your team to the audition, because even if you don't get the role, your agents might be like, that guy could really do it.
Mm-hmm.
You want your agents to see you perform every time. Every audition is really a performance opportunity. And you should be performing for your agents just as much as any other audience.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in there. I've got my sides, which also, by the way, sides are the little pieces of paper that you write the script on and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When you
Not the
in.
Sides of the paper, which is sharp.
No, that'll cut you.
Mm-hmm.
I got my little sides and I'm going through the scene with the Master Robot.
And were you reading with the actual actor who was cast, Pete Davidson in a hoodie? The main guy from
I was reading,
Master Robot?
I was reading with him. He's wearing his hoodie.
Uh-huh.
It's his – this is an interesting thing you may know. It's his hoodie.
No way.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
But it's so perfect for the character.
I know. But it's his. It's one of those – it's just one of those things. Anyway, so we're reading and I'm just about to start.
Whose is the other clothes?
The other clothes is they did a clothing swap. Some of these shows they have people that are called wardrobe people.
Ah, and you like switch clothes with them.
Yeah, you switch clothes with them. It's the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe people.
Mm-hmm.
And so you might get a lion's hat, and you might get a witch's broom.
Detroit Lion's hat.
The Detroit Lion's hat. Mm-hmm. And a Detroit witch's broom. And then you go into the wardrobe and then you're on the TV show.
Yeah.
So that's how everybody else.
Writing.
Yeah. I hope everybody keeps on, writing this stuff down, but the audition now it gets to this and well, lo and behold, I trip and I fall and I drop all my sides everywhere. They just scattered all over the floor, all up in the air.
Tell us what
in
sides
the rafters.
Are.
The sides are the little pieces of paper where the script is written down so you can read it and, read it with another actor and perform it and that sort of thing.
And did you have an easy time picking them up and reorganizing them?
No, I didn't. And this was my downfall, ultimately, why I'm not Master Robot and Christy Slater is that I dropped all the sides and they scattered to and fro and I couldn't.
Slipping on them.
I was slipping and sliding on them. I was getting cut by the actual sides of them. So I start, then I start bleeding.
You fell into a soapy tub at one point, right?
There is a tub in the room and it, there was soap all outside it, all inside. It was very bubbly. Fell into that, get out. And, there was a moment of silence. Everybody was worried. And then we all had a good laugh, but then I still couldn't organize all the sides again. Some of them, when we started back, were upside down. So then I'm reading, you know.
And the upside sides down are bloody language. And the tub's full of blood.
Oh, you did upside down language. Which seems like for a hacker would actually be very useful, is that sort of code.
To be able to speak that code, yes.
But maybe you don't know how to speak it so well.
I wasn't. I hadn't. I'd done the research. But I didn't do a good job on that day because my hands were also wet. So then that got the sides all wet. And then they became brittle.
Wet sides have ruined more auditions than almost any other thing. And
that I would, but I think it's these tubs in the room. I think the soapy tubs in the room don't help that.
That they're always there and that they're taking a bath between auditions so that they can always see people fresh and, and not the old audition.
You say that until the one time you need a bath.
That's true. That's true.
Well, for me, having been in the casting chair and having seen multiple actors, if I don't fully bathe in between each audition, you're coming in and I'm maybe still thinking about the last guy who was in right before, whether it be John Hamm or Ronaldo, the soccer player, or any, you know, any of the people that we're seeing for the role who's in your sort of same milieu.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The people you're constantly with in
now,
those audition rooms.
Speaking of John Hamm, it's not just Master Robot that you almost played. It was, you were up for Don Draper. You were almost Breaking Bad's brother.
Madman.
You almost happened to have the Halt and Catch Fire guy. You were the one who
spray paint.
Spray paint all the
this
guys.
This was another, because I get a lot of these hacker computer, computer master guys.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah.
It's the headphones that you're wearing, I think.
Yeah.
They've got a wire.
They have a wire, and it's like, well, this guy's ready to go. He's ready to plug in.
Yeah.
He's ready to jack in. Hack in, smack in. Let's
Keep
get him packing.
Feel good
to come on to the, you know, the sack in.
That's when the last one was not quite.
Yeah, well, it's a phrase that I don't think they were using on the show at that time before, but I didn't really get on the show because of the. This was a mishap too.
They had a,
you know what it was in that room? They had one of those rainforest showers.
Yes.
Which are beautiful and refreshing. And they kind of, I like them because it's not like a nozzle, like in the, like a shower head. It's just like built into the ceiling. So I didn't even know I was standing in it when they turned it on, when they said, when they said, and start your engines, which is what they say to, you know, start reading.
Get the engine going,
And then the water, the rainforest poured down on me and I'm trying to, and I'm like in the middle. It was funny because I was in the middle of saying halt, you know, and then I was about to say and catch fire, but then it's like I was like I can't read the sides now because they're covered in rainforest.
Can I tell you what I think it was? Maybe the problem with a previous auditioner, somebody saying
a master robot
catch fire.
Oh, halt and catch fire,
and inadvertently. Like a Johnny Storm setting that, you know, he said catch fire. If he auditioned right before you, you would need a rainforest shower to put him out after he says catch fire.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot written up about that. A lot of fire marshals had a problem with the title of Halt and Catch Fire because it's like that phrase, you know, yelling fire in a movie theater.
Do you feel like the fire marshals run Hollywood, Alan?
I do, you know.
I
mean, I don't know. Maybe that's not PC to say, you know?
No, I mean, they still wield a lot of power.
It's a
not
cabal.
As much as it used to be, but.
Yeah.
Alan, talk about your SNL audition a little bit with us, because I know that was one where you were so excited to be on that stage and you were in the elevator on the way up and then you, you know, fell down the shaft and.
Yeah.
Tell well, us
yeah,
more.
That's yeah. So I was excited about the audition. Well, because there weren't sides involved in this case, because mm-hmm. it was all my own material that I knew from my
nothing to get wet
my brain. Yeah, there was nothing to get wet. It was, thank goodness.
Yeah, thank God, no sides for once.
Yeah, and I had asked some of my friends who auditioned before. Are there any tubs in the stage where you audition? Are because mm-hmm. you audition right there on the stage on stage 29 6F.
Wow. Yeah, right there.
Yeah.
Right on stage 29.
Right on stage 29F. Mm-hmm. And then, is there a tub? Is there a rainforest shower? Is there, mm-hmm. A leaky faucet even? Because at this point, I'm just not having any.
You're just exhausting all the possibilities for things that could get you wet. So just, you aren't.
Don't
surprised.
Get me wet. Even if I don't have sides, I don't want to get wet because I'll flash to Master Robot.
It is New York, and there was a time in the 60s that there was a hydrant there on stage, and somebody would just whack the front of it off.
Kids would play in blast. It. Oh, yes. God, yeah. Remember that summer?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I'm in the elevator on the way up, and
Crooklyn.
I'm hearing some commotion up in the above.
Mm-hmm.
And
and what you're thinking happened what? Was there and was t- like, take what's me inside going on? Your brain. You're well, thinking, what?
Yeah. I'm thinking, what?
Yeah.
You know, so, and then what happened was a man with big scissors cut the wire of the elevator.
Oh, no.
And it was,
Finesse Mitchell.
Mm-hmm. If it was Finesse Mitchell, and he, who auditioned a while back, but. He had only just gotten those big scissors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so he came to kind of finally do what his revenge was for, for whatever happened, for him leaving the show
mm-hmm.
or getting fired from the show.
And he got his revenge happened. On you.
On mm-hmm. me. Because it's the same type of thing with you and John Hamm, Sean Hamm. You go mm-hmm. in with these same people. I'm always going in with Finesse.
Yes.
To a lot of these same hackers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So anyway, he cut the thing, and then the 30 Rock, where SNL takes place.
The show.
It is a 200-story tall building, and I was on floor 139 or between 139 and 140. And so then it falls. And it doesn't fall slowly.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you that, falls very fast.
In that building, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything moves really fast in New York City.
Yeah, mm-hmm. the pace of it.
Yeah.
And it can be a little much. And so it fell fast. It came
crashing down.
Yeah.
The doors open up, and there's Lorne. And then I go right into my bit, mm-hmm. and I booked SNL.
And do the bit?
Hey, what you talking about now? What you talking about? I got these ollies. I'm a skateboard man.
Mm-hmm.
The first character that mm-hmm. I like to open up with, mm-hmm. skateboard man.
Did you do any impressions?
Well, I cannot tell a lie now. I'll chop down that tree out now. And that's just that's an impression of a couple different presidents mashed up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. American presidents.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't play an instrument, but I'll play like if there's a hard surface around.
Mm-hmm.
I can play like, I don't know if the microphones are picking
up. Yeah, if you're not picking up that microphone, he is drumming. Did we get that,
Brian? Did we get that?
Yeah, coming in.
It's almost a Blue Man Group thing.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. kind of a stompy stomp.
Using the world to make music.
I was in my own head. I wasn't even paying attention. I was like, at this point, I was like, I'm just doing my thing as I practiced and rehearsed. And is Lorne even paying attention? I don't know.
Right.
I opened my eyes because they were shut the whole time. And I opened them. He was still there looking at me, just looking right down in my eyeballs. And, and then he said, Alan, this is the best thing I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. And he said, I've seen Rob Schneider before.
I've seen Rob Schneider. I've seen Will Ferrell, seen Eddie Murphy, and you.
He didn't really see Eddie Murphy. So Does the vibrate not turn off on your phone?
He saw him at SNL 40.
He watched him on TV.
SNL 40.
The vibrate?
Yeah.
That's Ryan.
It's been going. Oh, Ryan, that's you?
Yeah, he's hungry.
Oh, no. That's the sound your tummy makes, Ryan. Would you bring some crackers or something into the studio?
I had a granola bar before you guys got here.
Yeah, you can smell your breath.
Yeah. And if you're going to eat a granola bar or crackers, can you soak it in water first so that it doesn't make such a crunch when you're eating it? Because it really distracts the guests.
Okay, sorry.
Now.
I thought it was an earthquake.
Yeah. Well, yes, we should have made it soggy first. Soggy, that's like, remember Shaggy, Mr. Boombastic? But it's like if he was having your problem where he fell in a tub and he's trying to do Boombastic.
Soggy becomes
possible SNL sketch.
Oh, man. I'm gonna write it up this week.
I'm excited to see it. Now, we have some questions for you, Alan.
Yes.
Am I wrong, Hayes?
Let me see if we can play the theme. If the sound has been turned on by the engineer, and it has not.
Too late.
This is the Popcorn Gallery, where the questions are the popcorn, and the gallery is like your mind. And it has these paintings that sort of describe your experience in Hollywood.
So they're my questions?
Well, no. Well, the questions are popcorn.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have some.
Mm-hmm.
But it is your gallery.
Mm.
And the paintings tell like a chronological story, you know, from when you first dreamed of performing is like a picture of that, you know, like you as a baby thinking like, oh, well, what if?
Oh, right. Because you flash to that image of when you.
Yes.
When a thing happened.
And then you look at that picture and then you go into your school play and just that's the gallery of your mind. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So this is a question where you have to reach and get the popcorn, and that's where the question is.
That's where the questions are.
Yes.
Okay. Do you want me to reach in?
We
have to play the sound drop. If you want to hit the button for the sound drop, you can do that.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
But
my
it's
friend
small.
Mark from high school
the
made
the button's very
yeah,
small.
Yeah, the button's small. It's hard to reach. Sometimes you need a long chopstick or something to get at it.
Mm.
And are you getting any closer?
I did pass a Chinese restaurant on the way.
Oh, you're going to go back and get one? Or?
No, I grabbed one chopstick.
Oh, that's good. So see if you can get at it. Hey, did somebody need a towel?
It wasn't me. Or it was me. It was me.
So I think this is Mark was trying to do was the soggy character.
Mm-hmm.
And I get how he had some trouble with it because, like, what you really want to hear from Shaggy is, it wasn't me.
It sounded like he was.
But Soggy would need a towel.
Soggy needs a towel.
Yeah.
It sounded like we haven't used Mark in a long time, and it sounded like he was very excited to be able to do something for the show again.
Yeah. That was a fresh drop right there because that was a real recent reference.
Yeah, I mean, he may have independently just had the idea for Soggy. It's
been
out
in the
there.
Ether. Yeah, it is sort of.
It's about
there.
Time. Yeah.
I'm not one of those people that's like this or that person stole my idea. I think a lot of parallel ideas happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they did that study.
Yeah, talk about that study.
Well, they did the parallel thinking study. Mm-hmm. Harvard did it, and at the same time, Yale was doing it, and then they couldn't really get the study done because they started accusing each other of who had the idea for the parallel thinking study.
Do I sound crazy if I'm talking in a cup?
I thought Master Robot. Well, I honestly thought for a second that Master Robot was here.
I am Master Robot. You know, like, is that what you were doing?
Yeah. He does talk into a cup on that show.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
The question is from a bear, which is his name.
A bear.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's supposed to be to get me to say that. The question's from a bear. It's like a funny, like the sound of me saying that is, it's supposed to be a trick on me.
It's exhausting.
But it actually is the guy's name. So, and so it doesn't even work as a trick. But his question is, it's actually something you were talking about a little earlier, which is interesting. Mm. And it's, what's the coolest car? Because you remember when you saw that cool car?
Yeah, this goes back to when I saw that cool car with the hyperlink on it. What's the question? What's the coolest car?
What is the coolest car? Is it that one?
It was that car.
It was that car.
Well, because not only was it going at hyper speed, it had a hyperlink that you could click if you could catch it. And it makes you want to catch it, and it makes you want the car. And
do you know what the hyperlink was to, or were you ever able to find out?
Yeah, I ran after it.
Oh, wow, because you were sitting still enjoying a meal.
I was sitting dead still, and...
was it to a True Detective Season 1 recap or something?
I was reading a True Detective Season 1
the
recap.
The hyperlink was?
Yeah.
No, that's what he was reading.
I was reading that.
Sorry.
But that happened to be what the hyperlink was too, was to the article that I was already reading.
Oh, so did that disappoint
I was like,
well,
I just ran after this Corvette for nothing. It was a Corvette, by the way.
That's the coolest car.
And then I walked all the way back to the cafe. That's the coolest. And my laptop was gone.
For me, coolest car, no question, Batmobile.
And so the way we're doing this now is, this is sort of a new thing where like you—
Everybody answers?
You answer the question and then Sean gets one chance to—
To top you.
To beat you.
The Batmobile is a good one. I like that too. Can I change mine?
Yeah, but as long as afterward, like—
It's sort of a rebuttal, yeah. The
Is it a
intended goal is you for do, you to change yes. your answer?
You do get one change chance per question. I think is what we said, the but it has to be rule. Two. Yeah. It has to be two Sean's.
But then Hayes can try to convince you. If you do change, he can try to change you back.
Right.
Okay. So I'm changing to the Batmobile. Hayes, do you?
I don't want to use my change back.
Okay. I don't. So this isn't the time. For
I want
it.
To hang on to my
Does that change it. Back. Does that mean you could get two change backs?
Next time question? It carries over. Yes.
So you do, it's like rollover.
And so
rollover,
because he did change, I didn't lose change my back. Change. Like if he didn't change, then I lose the chance to try to change him next time. But because he did change, I don't
he
lose
He did
my
change,
change,
you don't lose it. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
But you didn't announce either. You have to... You know, you have to announce that, that you're using your change.
No,
yes.
I know.
No, I'm not saying. I'm just telling you for next time.
Well, you're being.
I think it's important to. I don't think you're even being a stickler for the rules. I think it's good to. No, I'm always. Happy
I would.
When
I agree. I want the rules to. But he's being
upheld.
Do you want to do it? You keep doing it wrong, or like do?
No, but I do. But you're being pissy about it, and you're being. Yes, you were.
That's ridiculous. I used a completely normal voice. Did I feel pissy? I know. See, that's how I know I use a normal voice because I felt. A little pissy about
and
it.
You were working so hard to keep it underneath. Well, it came
to
through,
sound normal.
Believe me, and it's. And Alan, I'm sorry you had to see this, but you know.
Now we have to
I'm
get
a little
another
uncomfortable.
We have to get another question, Alan, and I'm a little worried because it sounded like when you did hit the button last time, it did sound like you were exerting yourself a little bit.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't easy. I mean, I had the chopstick is heavy, is pretty heavy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and the hole is sticky.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the chopstick gets stuck to the side.
And the button is in a hole, yeah.
But I'm happy to do it again. I mean, it wasn't that crazy. I'm happy to do it
give it a
one
go.
Or two more times, probably.
Okay.
All right.
Do you have an out? Do you have a hard out? You said one or two. I mean,
yeah.
If we do then we're only doing two questions if you only do it one more time. So
I have to be out in like 8 hours.
Okay, great. Okay.
So I've got the stick in my hand. I'm curling my hand into a fist around the stick, and I'm pushing it into this gooey hole. There's an ant crawling up the stick now, but I'm just going to push a little deeper. And I thought this is about where I reached it last time, but
it receded a little bit.
There it is.
They call me Mr. Boombastic. Very fantastic. Master Boombastic.
Okay, so here's what I think is happening for Mark in this sound drop. I think that he sort of heard the Master Robot talk, got a robot voice, and then was like, oh, I was doing that Soggy thing that went over so well that maybe like Soggy is somehow now a robot, and then he'd be Master Robot, be Master Boombastic. I mean, it feels like it's in
He said Master Boombastic.
It's in the range. Ultimately, I think he said that. Maybe he meant to say it right away, and then he had to double back to say it later. But he did say something about that. And I think he started to do the chorus of Hot Stepper too. But then found a piece of the Mr. Boombastic chorus. And then realized that he should have said Master instead of Mister. So it was a very good sound drop by Mark, and I think he's not sound. Out of practice. No.
That
even
was
though
like
we've
a good,
kept him on the shelf.
That was a good like sort of digest, like a 33 1/3 type of digest of that sound drop.
Oh, thanks. Mm-hmm.
I love those.
Oh God,
I have them all. People
What's
always
the
ask
best
about
one
them
to
when
you?
They when they come to my house. The one that's for the Beatles.
Oh, mm-hmm.
You know
that's a
they.
Good one.
Rock.
Mm-hmm. Explaining the Beatles and some of their, which one did which of the instruments and stuff.
Yes, because they do rock, but when I first listen without a book, I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
If you just listen to the Beatles, it sounds like four men or women, if you're just listening, you're mm-hmm. not visually seeing, all playing
Thank you.
The same instrument simultaneously.
Yes.
Or maybe two instruments simultaneously.
Thank you.
Thank you together. For saying women.
Thank you.
We used to have a lot of women on this show, actually, so we totally get that.
Yeah. Well, we should be cognizant of women, I guess.
Mm. So is there a question for the guy?
The question is from Ran Ran. Hi, Alan. Your character on You're the Worst is a real dweeb. How much do you get picked on in real life because of it, and what's the worst anyone has bullied you in Hollywood?
Well, there are a lot of people that don't separate that character, Paul, on You're the Worst from me, Alan,
mm-hmm.
in real life. And then so in turn, a lot of football players that are on L.A. doesn't have a football team. But,
except Blue Mountain State in a way.
The Blue Mountain State football players, though, mm-hmm. they do pick on me. They've pushed me in the locker. They've put my head in toilets and done swirlies. They've pooped down my
chest.
Well, yeah, because I'm standing up and then they're standing on a ladder and they poop on my chest.
I said chest. Were you going to say something else?
Well, I was the first time they pooped on me, they pooped into my butt. Their poop went into my butt, and then
well, because you said down, you said
well,
so
down,
you're
they pooped down my butt.
But
yeah,
I would almost
down
think
my butt
because
I was on my head getting
and
swirly.
But you're
and
upside
they were
down.
Then they were on a ladder.
Yeah, I skipped it because I was like going to be
having
to.
I've made my Emmy statues do that. To
yeah,
each
if
other.
You if the Emmy statues were here, I could show you what I'm talking about.
Mm.
But to suffice it to suggest, yes, I have been bullied. Cyberbullied as well.
Yeah, MySpace.
MySpace, they go to town on me there. It's like a field day on MySpace when I log on. Because then they just start going, your space? It's MySpace now, you dweeb. And then, I'm an emotional guy. And
is that why Greenwald
cry.
Likes it?
Huh?
Greenwald, he likes it.
Yeah.
Is that why?
Is what why?
That is, see, Alan is a dweeb too.
Yeah, it might be. It's a thing we have in
common. Oh, do you
it's
think he's making fun
too,
of you?
Because nerds are cool. Nerds is cool, but then at the same time, dweebs are not.
Yeah, no, they're not.
Like, well, that's still not. Is that what's next? Maybe, but
I
doubt it.
I think
it.
If dweebs get their own candy the way nerds have their candy, mm-hmm. then I think that's a step in the right direction for equality.
What would a dweeb's candy be, Alan?
It would be a chewy version of nerds. It would be...
They have that.
They would each be... Oh, really?
They
well,
have
well
that.
Let me take it one step further. They would gush into your mouth when you bite into... Something would gush out.
And what exactly? What specifically gushes out?
Glue. Horse glue.
Okay. Well, I thought I was going
to
trap him.
Is that made of horses, or is it to attach horses to something?
It's to attach horses. Okay. I don't want to hurt horses, but I don't mind attaching them to things in a painless way.
Because if you use normal glue, it would hurt them.
Yeah, because glue is made of, we all know, mashed up horses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What are you attaching them to?
Spikes. The sides of the spikes, not the pointy end. Not the pointy end of the spikes. It seems like
it would hurt them. It would have to be.
Yeah, it seemed like.
To the side.
Okay.
And now we did do, we did say we were going to, and I, you know, I hate to ask you to do this again because the second time it was even harder with the chopstick, but, and the chopstick has gotten so gooey that.
I now do wish that when on the way here, when I stopped at the Chinese restaurant, I had gotten the second chopstick because the guy was like, would you like a second chopstick? So I think that the button, is only in a hole that is one chopstick size. So I think I only need the one chopstick.
Yeah.
And he said,
what if it gets an ant on it?
He said, okay, but it could get an ant on it.
Yeah.
And and I said, well, yeah, I liked Ant-Man too, buddy. Okay. I got to go. I don't have time to sit here and talk to you all damn day about the chopstick, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was one of those.
How much longer were you there?
I was there for two more hours. Yeah. Just really having a go at this guy.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. They have an A on the outside of the restaurant, so you know the food's good.
It's for Alan.
Yeah. For me. It's for Alan.
Yeah.
I left my mark, if you will. Oh, but I think that this chopstick that I have will still work though.
Huh, okay. Good.
I don't know where the ant went. Oh! It's in my ear. The ant went to my ear. God. Oh, my God. Okay. Well, I put the ant back on the stick.
You would think the headphones would stop.
The ant was trying to be headphones.
The ant, the ant went subatomic like Ant-Man and...
Yes.
Went underneath the headphone pillow.
So I know that it is Ryan's stomach that keeps making the buzzing noise.
Yeah.
But if it was, let's say, a phone, and we didn't want to turn off the vibrate, maybe what we could even do was take the phone off a hard surface so that the vibrating would be quieter. There's like a chair next to it.
In that situation, I would think that that would... makes sense. I would agree with you.
If that were the case.
Yes. Were that the case.
But it's just not.
No, it's not. It's right. But
so it's almost weird that I'm bringing it up.
We could have Ryan not rest his stomach on the table.
We could. Yeah, you could rest your stomach on the chair.
That would be good for us.
Or just on your lap.
Yeah. Just have it sit where it is in your body.
And just have your, like, have a lap that could support your own stomach instead of needing something to, like, prop it up on.
Well, Alan, you know, this is maybe sidetracking us a little bit, and maybe you should put the chopstick in the hole and hit the button for the last question.
Did anybody see where I put the chopstick?
And see, now here's my concern. We know Ryan was hungry, and you put something down next to him that looks like sort of a long cracker. Mm-hmm. Which is what you did tell him to eat.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. But if he ate it, I would have heard it crunching everywhere.
That's right.
That's true.
So unless you just swallowed it
whole. Did you swallow it whole?
No, I didn't swallow it whole. Or crunch
it. So he says.
Okay, so he's saving
it
somewhere.
Oh, no, there it is. I found it.
Oh, it was
right
in
there. My ear.
The ant carried it in there.
So, okay, so I'm wrapping my hand around the stick one little digit at a time.
He's telling the truth.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Those are how many fingers he has.
Then I'm inserting this choppy into a little hole here. I think the hole got smaller.
El Chapo, yeah.
This hole feels a little tighter, but no matter. I'll just use a little more force.
Here come the wet stepper. Me, Eni something about wet or soggy, but Eni Kamozi. Kahozi? Eni Kahoz spray.
We got a little insight into the process, I think.
And a very interesting part of it to me is that Mark was thinking in Soggy's accent.
Mm-hmm.
So was that supposed
to
be...
Didn't want to break character, I guess.
Okay, so that wasn't supposed to be Soggy thinking of something to say? Like Mark as Soggy not knowing what to say in his song?
Well, because last time, if you remember, he accidentally did the hot stepper thing.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, because Shaggy became Soggy, maybe hot stepper becomes wet stepper. Like
sure.
The Sufi Weaver, he did not want it to be a mistake, but rather to become part of the pattern.
Yes.
And so I see where he's going, but I just wish he would have come up with Ini Kahoz spray before he started recording the sound drop, or that he did a second take.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it.
I liked great. Yeah, Alan, okay, good. Well,
I thought that was a good sound. I think that's going to be a good another 33 and a third.
Do we have a question for the guy?
This question's from Steve H.
Steve Agee?
Yes. Alan. What was the inspiration for your famous character, Additional Voices, in Monsters, Inc.? Well, there's a mistake
what's
in
the information?
This question. Yeah. Inspiration.
Inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Well, the inspiration. Sorry. The inspiration for Additional Voices was.
And that was in Monsters University, and I don't know if he's trying to make
university,
a point about
by the
how
way, that's, that
Monsters
was
University
the,
is like a corporation, but anyway.
Well, I mean, look, we could get into, you know.
Student loans.
Pixar being kind of basically a corporation now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean,
yeah.
I don't know.
It's almost, it's like starting that. To become almost mm-hmm. a
it's
business.
It's kind of becoming like a business.
And mm-hmm. it used to just be our hangout.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be like. Come on over to Pixar if you want to hang and we'll play some...
it's like a clubhouse where we just animate our ideas.
Yeah.
And now it's about
if
money.
If they wind up being a movie, great, but
yeah.
who cares?
Now it's about
you
dollars.
Know? Yeah, now they're like intentionally making movies with budgets and the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
and it's disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't like it either. But the inspiration was that they had two characters coming back for Monster University. Eyeball Man and John Goodman. And I said, I was at Pixar kind of in the little corner where we all used to hang out, where it just mm-hmm. used to be a chill hangout.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's like a secretary over there. And I said to the secretary, hey, maybe there should be some additional voices, you know, because
mm-hmm.
there's only two. You got a
yeah.
whole movie, right? And it's a prequel. And maybe we should meet some of the other people that, you know, made Eyeball and John Goodman who they are, you know? Mm-hmm.
Co-eds.
Co-eds, you know, before we get to Monsters, Inc., you know? And so she was like, prove it. She's like, prove it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, I will. Oh, yeah, now we're going to have a real good time here, Sean. I'm a little purple guy. I'm a skateboard man. And then I
from SNL
tapping in on thing.
Yeah.
And then
what a treat for SNL fans.
Yeah. And then they were like, "You're hired." And
that's,
so you
the
know,
skateboard man has that ever failed for you?
No, skateboard man is always kills it. Always
the result
annihilates.
Is always that you end up being hired
because you know when to use it. Too.
Yeah,
oh, right.
Alan, that's the tone and everything of that story just seems so great. I didn't listen to any of the words, but
no,
it just it felt like a good sneezy. The sneeze was unavoidable, but I knew that I needed to warn you somehow, you know?
Yeah.
So I tried to say the word sneeze.
Yeah. Well, during that story, you got up and you walked into the corner and you started tickling your nose with a feather.
I don't know. But I love that you came and told us that. Bye.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Adam Sachs, and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.
That was a HeadGum podcast.